Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that message and song. Matthew chapter 16. Let's please turn there this morning. Matthew chapter 16. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, there's a copy in the pew in front of you. I hope you brought your own. If not, you can find Matthew chapter 16 there so you can follow along. We'll be looking at verses 24 through 26. Matthew chapter 16. I hate to do this, but I better. Help set up for ACF after AM. That's what I need to announce, all right? Forgot earlier, so please be aware, we're having the After Church Fellowship tonight, so please remember if you can help set up in the fellowship hall after this morning service, that would be a blessing. And I'll probably mention that later. But I want to focus now on Matthew chapter 16, okay? This is what I'm burdened about. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. We are going to be covering the subject of choosing the path of Jesus. Choosing the path of Jesus. Everyone here has begun traveling on what we could call this morning the road of life. When you were born without a choice of your own, you began that complex journey. Along the road of life, there are countless forks with life-changing decisions to be made. I kind of envision a road of life like this. You got that path, maybe going through the woods or whatever. And like I said, there's countless forks that you encounter. You could go either this way or that way. And let's say on the right hand, your right hand, let's say when we choose that way, we're choosing the path of Jesus. But if we choose the other side, you're choosing the way of the world. And I envision that road, if you were to look at it from the top, not a topographical map, but a top view of a map. Boy, you would just see this complex maze almost that would ever get wider and wider and wider as there's more forks along the journey, along the road. And the more you go to the right hand, the more you're following the path of Jesus, the road that he trod. He was far, far over to the right side as much as you can be because he was always taking that side, the path of Jesus. He lived a perfect life. But the other side, the other extreme, is the way of the world. And it just gets ever and ever larger till you get to the end destination. And I kind of envision that this morning as I look at Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26. You are on that journey, you are on the road of life, and you are encountering forks every day, decisions to be made every day. Will you choose the path of Jesus, or will you choose the path of the world? The Bible calls these two paths the broad and narrow ways. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." That's the way you want to take, the straight gate. "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." That's the world's way. "And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so the Bible describes this illustration as the broad and narrow way. And you must choose between one or the other. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And sadly, there are so many today who are choosing the broad way because it seems right. They're going for that temporal pleasure, that enjoyment that they can get now out of this life. But it's a way that leads unto death. Jesus has already traveled the road of life. He lived on this earth just like you and I. He traveled that road and he has already arrived at his destination. And now he calls to you this morning with these words, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You see, choosing the path of Jesus is not guaranteed to be a way of no suffering, but the destination is a place of rest. And along the way, as Jesus carries you through, you find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus has been there and done that, we could say. He has traveled the road of life and he has arrived at his destination, but you have a choice to make as you travel this road. Will you choose the path of Jesus? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 says, God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Isaiah 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me, God says, hear and your soul shall live. You see, Jesus is calling to you in those words, would you come this way? Would you choose the path that I have taken? John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Revelation 22, verse 17, God says, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, there's a path that Jesus has gone, and it's not a path, as I said, of no suffering, but it is a path of your thirst being quenched. It is a path of finding true rest, true life in the end. And so I ask you today, friend, is your soul weary of traveling this journey of life? Do you want to arrive at the right destination? Then you need to choose the path of Jesus. That's the only way to get there. That is the only way to get there when it comes to salvation, of course. There's no way to go to heaven except through Jesus. He said he's the way. But I'm not just burdened about people who may be here without him. People who may not know for sure that they're going to heaven. I'm burdened for people who do know him. I'm burdened that you, dear follower of Christ, disciple of him, that you would choose the path of Jesus as well. Not just for salvation, but for daily living. And this morning I want you to understand a little more of what the path of Jesus entails. And so we must choose the path of Jesus to find true life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. We'll be dealing probably mainly with verse 24 this morning. But there's some important things in 25 and 26 as well. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The path of Jesus. I want you to see, first of all, that point, the path of Jesus, and understand some more about this path that our Savior took. The path of Jesus is a path of true life. And I want you to see, first of all, in verse 24, that it is a path for anyone. It is a path for anyone. Jesus said, if any man will come after me. I'm so thankful that it's not just for a select few that God predetermined before he created the world. I'm thankful that this is for anyone. Any man can come unto Jesus. And that's what he called for. He called for men to come to him, for women to come to him, for people from all races to come to him. It does not matter what race you are. It does not matter how smart you are. It does not matter how rich you are. It does not matter what your background is. Jesus wants you to come to him. He wants you to follow in the path he has taken. He wants to save you, and he wants to guide you through life to a heavenly home. The choice, then, is yours, and no one else can make it for you. But yet, it's open to all. It's a path for anyone. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." You see, the opportunity of having your sins forgiven, salvation, and a home in heaven with God for all of eternity is available to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," okay, that's all, "anyone can believe in him and not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, the path of Jesus is a path for anyone. Anyone. And if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus already here today, understand the path of Jesus is not just to be trodden by the people who are young and have the energy. It's not for, if you're a young person here today, the path of Jesus is not just for those who have known the Lord for a long time. The path of Jesus is a path for anyone. And I wonder, will you choose to take it? But also notice, it's a path of self-denial. This is a hard one. The path of Jesus is for anyone. Everyone in this room should be taking it, but also it's a path of self-denial. And Jesus said there in verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." What is self-denial? In our family devos recently, we've been talking about this. What is self-denial? It's basically saying no to yourself. That's a simple way to put it for the kids. It's saying no to yourself. I want this, I want that, but instead you say no to yourself. Self-denial. Denying yourself is refusing to satisfy yourself. When you choose to travel the path of Jesus and deny yourself, you are choosing to satisfy your Savior instead of yourself. That's the idea here. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to have an ice cream cone. I like them. I'm not saying it's wrong to own something that's nice and shiny. I'm not saying it's wrong to have some things in life that satisfy, but I am saying that life is not about satisfying ourselves. It's about satisfying our Savior. That's the path of Jesus. And you look at his life, and that's what it was all about. It was all about doing the will of his Father. And so if we are going to follow on that path, then we have better learn pretty early on that he calls for some self-denial. He calls for total commitment to him. Is your desire in recent years, has it been to satisfy your Savior, or has it been to satisfy yourself? Have you become comfortable in a process of taking care of you? Or has your life been focused on, God, what do you want me to do next? God, what can I do to serve you better? God, you are worthy of everything I have. I give myself to you. You see, that's self-denial. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." See, he's going to guide you down that path of Jesus. If you acknowledge him in all your ways. Are you doing that with your finances? Are you doing that with your friendships? Are you doing that with the time that you have and the places that you go? Are you doing that? Or is it very much about satisfying yourself in this life? If you're here today and you've never believed on Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then there's something you need to understand, that you cannot be saved until you deny yourself. I think this passage is very deep, but it can have two applications. It can apply in some ways to those who don't know the Lord. It can apply in many ways to those who do. But if you're here without the Lord and you don't know for sure that you're saved, understand, Jesus lived a life of self-denial. It was not about him. It was about others. Understand that here he calls for us to deny ourselves if we're going to follow in his path. Understand, dear friend, that if you are going to be saved, if you're going to have your sins forgiven before a holy God, you have to deny yourself as well. And what I mean by that is you have to come to the point in your life to where you realize you cannot earn God's forgiveness. You cannot get yourself to heaven. You have to get to the point to where you will say no to yourself and recognize he's the only way. Have you ever come to that point to where you realize Jesus is the only way? Or is there still some way that you are depending upon self to get you there? Self to get that forgiveness. Self to be good enough. It won't work. And the path of Jesus is a path of self-denial. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You see, that rules out self completely. That means you have to recognize you can't get yourself there. He is the only one who can save us. Titus 3, 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." We can't earn it by our good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, same thing. It's his grace. It's faith in Jesus Christ, not of ourselves, that allows us to receive that gift of everlasting life. And so understand, the path of Jesus is a path for anyone. It's a path of self-denial. But then I also want you to notice here in verse 24 that it is a path marked by a cross. Notice the whole verse with me again. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." A path marked by a cross. Have you ever gone hiking before? I've gone on a few trips. Up one mountain, down the next, up one mountain, down the next. Certain parts of the Appalachian Trail that way. And on those trails, when you're hiking in the woods, those markers on the trail are very important sometimes. Those trail markers can be crucial, especially if it's snowing and you can't see the path anymore, especially if it's getting dark. It gets harder to see things on the forest floor, and the higher up you can get your bearings, the better you're off you're going to be. And so they put those trail marks on the trees. It may be a nail with a plastic diamond on it or something. It may be a spray paint on a tree. You're following the green trail and green spray paint everywhere. It may be the blue trail and you're looking for the blue paint. But those trail markers are very important. Do you understand the trail markers that Jesus describes here along the path that he took? The trail marker is a cross. The path of Jesus is identified by the mark of a cross. Now we know that the cross is not a lovely symbol. It represents great pain and suffering. And the Bible says how Jesus went to the cross for us. John chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, it says, "Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him. On either side, one, and Jesus in the midst." And so most of us are very familiar with the story how Jesus went to the cross. It was that terrible form of Roman execution. Great suffering, great pain, and Jesus went there for you and I. It's a path that's marked by a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." Jesus didn't die in his sleep peacefully. Jesus didn't just succumb to some accident that took his life very quickly. No, he knew what was ahead when he was born as a baby. He knew the whole plan. He knew what was about to take place and the suffering that he would endure, and he did it because of his love for you. The path that he took was marked by a cross. It says, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary." That is why the cross is the symbol that marks the path of Jesus, because he went there for us. He carried that cross to Golgotha, at least part of the way. That was not to make light of the resurrection, but that was such a defining moment in his life, was it not? That is where he said, "It is finished." That is where the price was paid for your sins. Because the Lamb of God willingly went to the cross for you. You see, you cannot separate the story of Jesus from the symbol of the cross. And if you want to follow Jesus today, friend, then you must accept the cross. If you're going to take his path, you have to understand the path is marked by the symbol of the cross. And that is why Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," because the cross was so important. John 3, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I'm so thankful he went to the cross for me. I'm so thankful that his love was so great that it caused him to go through with it. for me and for you. So that is a wonderful message for someone who doesn't know the Lord. It's a wonderful message for someone who needs the forgiveness of God. They have to recognize that path that Jesus took is marked by a cross, and they have to accept the cross. Have you done that? I believe most people in this room have, but there may be some who have not. Have you come to the place in your life where you have accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross for you? You see, he paid it all. All your sins, all the record that you had added up and that you would add up in the future, he took all of that guilt, all that punishment upon himself and paid for every bit of it. And he did it at the cross. And that's why it's a symbol that marks his path that he took. It was that defining moment of the work that he did for you and I. And that's a message for someone who needs to be saved. But as followers of Jesus, we must not only carry our crosses, as he calls us to in the passage, but understand, gladly take them up. Gladly take them up. You see, Jesus here said, take up your cross. Take up your cross. And I believe there in that there's an understanding of, as we look at different parts of Scripture, that this is something we should gladly accept. This is something that we should willingly partake in. And that's what he did. His love drove him to do that for you and I. So we must not only carry our crosses, but we must gladly take them up today. They represent the sacrifice of our Savior. The symbol of the cross is a good symbol because it points to what he did for us there on that tree. Your cross, friend, is your opportunity to show the love of Jesus to a world who cannot understand how love is more powerful than pain. Take up your cross. You say, well, what's my cross? Well, I believe it could be applied in a number of different ways for different people. But I think a good understanding of what your cross is this. It could be a health issue right now for you. It could be a financial need. It could be some persecution that God has called you to suffer for his name. It could be a false accusation that has come across your path. It could be a hurt relationship that just tugs at your heart day after day. I don't know exactly what your cross is this morning, but I know this. Jesus, the one who took the path ahead of us, has called to us and said, take up your cross. And that cross that he's called you to bear, that cross that he's called you to take up, is a symbol that you can carry, shall we say, with pride. Because it points to the work that he did for you. It points to the fact that he saved you. It points to the fact that you are now free because of the cross. And so you say, well, I don't quite understand that. My cross is not easy to bear. My cross is difficult. I'm falling under the weight of it. I don't know how to deal with that situation. Or this situation seems too great for me. Understand that if you take up that cross, that you get to be a trophy of God's grace, we could say, as he sustains you to carry it all the way to your destination. Would you realize today that if Jesus could go to the cross for you, then surely you can carry your cross for him? You say, how is it possible? How could I carry that cross? It has burdened me so much. Even in the recent weeks, it's been such a weight upon my shoulders. How could I carry this cross? How is it possible? The answer is love. Love. How much do you love your Savior? Because He loved you to carry that cross in your place. Would you take up your cross and show Him your love today? And in so doing, be a testimony to the world of His great love for them. Would you take up your cross? You see, the cross that we have the opportunity to carry, whatever that may be in your life, that cross that He's called you to carry is an opportunity to show the love of Jesus to a world who can't understand how love is more powerful than pain. Matthew chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." You see, it's vitally important that you accept the trials, the difficulties in your life, the cross that He's called you to bear. It's vitally important that you accept that, because He says if you don't, you're not worthy of Him. You're not worthy to be following in that path, to be called a true disciple of Jesus, because true disciples will take up their cross. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." I think in America, we've had many things that make us comfortable. And I believe there's other places in the world where the persecution is prevalent that this concept makes so much more sense to those believers, because they recognize more clearly what the cross is that they must bear. They recognize that if they bear that cross, if they take it up for the Lord, even with joy, even looking at it as an opportunity, they recognize, as I carry this cross just like my Lord did for me, it points to the love that God has for the lost and dying world. It points to the great work that He did on His cross in my place. I think it's hard sometimes for us Americans to understand taking up our cross. But what cross has God called you to bear in your life right now? Would you take it up? Would you do that? Would you be willing to suffer for your Lord as He did in your place? Would you be willing to bear that cross so you would be a testimony of the great love of God, not just for you and how His love sustains you to bear that cross, but His love for others, for the world? Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, that symbol of the cross was something that Paul wanted to glory in. He recognized the importance of it. He recognized the importance of taking up his own cross as Jesus had commanded and following that path that Jesus had trod. Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, "By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The world, through the victory that God had gained on the cross, is dead to us. When we choose to take up our cross and follow the Lord, and we stay to that path that He has trailblazed for us, we are getting further and further away from the world, the broad way, and it becomes dead to us, like it's crucified to us, and we are dead to it. The more we follow Jesus, the more we choose His way on the fork, the more we don't want the world, and it becomes a dead, dead thing to us. And that's what Paul was talking about there. I want to be dead to that world. I want to glory in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, where all this was made possible. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him," You remember that verse? Imagine that. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, there was a concept of Jesus willingly taking up his cross. And I believe what drove it was his love for you and I. And so would you, with joy, take up your cross today? I know your cross has been hard to bear. I know that it's been difficult. I know that you've tried to run away from it probably at times. But whatever that cross is in your life, would you see it today in a new way? Would you see it as an opportunity through the grace of God to demonstrate to all, as they see you suffer, of his great love, not only for you, but for them as well? What is the cross that God has allowed you to find on your path? John 15, verse 13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." You see, that was the great love that our Savior had, and that happened at the cross. Notice it says he laid down his life for, well, Jesus was speaking to his disciples there, how that great love is laying down your life for your friends. But what did Jesus go and do then? He laid down his life for his enemies. Amazing, amazing thought. That love is what makes taking up your cross possible. It's love. And so number one, we see the path of Jesus. But number two, I want us to notice in verse 25 now, just briefly, the prediction of life. Number two, the prediction of life. Verse 25 there says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Understand that trying to save your life will always result in losing it. But choosing to lose your life for Jesus will enable you to find it. Saving your life, trying to save your life, has the idea of to possess it, to bring it safely through. There are many in our world who are trying to do this very thing. And Jesus makes a bold prediction here. If you try to possess your life yourself, if you try to save it and safely bring it through to its final destination, what's going to happen? You'll lose it. You'll find the broad way. You'll realize in the end, I was traveling the broad way and it led me to destruction. It didn't lead me to life and joy. So there's a prediction made here. We can count on it. If you try to save your life, it will always result in losing it. But if you, dear friend, choose to lose your life for Jesus, it will enable you to find it. What does that mean to lose your life then? Well, I think it has an idea of taking up your cross. I think it has an idea of being surrendered to the Lord. Okay, so we are trying to naturally hang on to our life. We're trying to save it, trying to preserve it. But when we recognize, you know what, it's not my will, as Jesus demonstrated for us, it's not my will, but thine be done. That's choosing to lose your life. Choosing to let go of it. Choosing to let him be the one who controls it. That is denying yourself, saying no to yourself. That's you choosing to satisfy him instead of satisfying yourself. And if you don't choose to deny yourself and let him have his way with your life, then you'll lose your life. You try to hoard up your earthly possessions. You try to maybe make your life secure. Some do that with riches. Some do that with relationships. Some do that with good health. You know what happens? The prediction always comes true. You lose your life. You can't do that for yourself. You have to come to the place in life, and it's found on the path of Jesus, of denying yourself, saying no to yourself, and recognizing he's the only way. So number two, we see the prediction of life. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, God said there, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." In other words, God is saying, I don't get any joy. I don't want to see happen people perish. I don't want to see happen people go to destruction. I get no pleasure in that, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves, he said, and live. You see, once again, God is saying, come this way. Choose the path of Jesus. Give me your life and take up your cross. I've called you to something. I've called you to carry this. And if you choose it, then you'll find true life. But if you don't, then you're going the broad way. And you won't find the satisfaction there in the world that you think you will. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Once again, those are the words that are being shouted down the path of Jesus. You get to that fork, and there you have to make a decision, and you hear a voice, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come this way. Because there's no way to get to the Father but by me. And so we see, number two, the prediction of life. Trying to save your life will always result in losing it. But trying to lose your life, choosing to lose your life for Jesus will enable you to find it. There's certainly great application for the unsaved in that verse. But I believe there's even application for believers. And I wonder, what is your life focused on? Is it trying to save your life, to possess it, to bring it through safely? Or are you willing to choose the path of Jesus, which is not always an easy path, which sometimes includes suffering, which is marked by a cross? Would you choose that path? Number three, finally, we see the prophet of the world in verse 26. So number one, the path of Jesus. Number two, the prediction of life. Number three, the prophet of the world here. And Jesus says, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, there will always be many on the broad way, the path to destruction, who will try to convince themselves that the world will give them pleasure, the world will give them complete satisfaction. But the Bible says that if you were to gain the whole world, you'd be sorely disappointed. If you gained the whole world, what would it profit you? And the obvious answer is nothing when you compare it to a soul. Now, last time I preached, we talked a little bit about this, and still on my heart, the value of a soul. You see, nothing can compare to the value of your soul. Not even the whole world comes close to the value of your soul. And the last phrase in verse 26, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's almost if Jesus is saying, if you were to gain the whole world but lose your own soul, what would it profit you? It would not profit you. And in fact, can you think of anything that could be given in exchange for a soul? And the answer is no. Because nothing can be compared to the value of your soul. Not a big bank account. Not a comfortable life, not human relationships, not good health. Nothing can be compared to the value of your soul, that eternal part of you that goes on forever and ever in one of two places. And so don't seek after this world. Don't try to gain a bit of this world, because even if you could gain the whole world, it wouldn't profit you. And you'll come nowhere close to gaining the whole world. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. You see, followers of Jesus here this morning, disciples of our Lord, choose the path of Jesus at every fork in the road. Pick up your cross today. Whatever suffering God has called you to suffer, would you suffer it with joy, encouraged by the love of your Savior? And would you recognize that the world is not worth it? That you need to be all in following Jesus. You need to choose the path of Jesus every single time you come to a fork. And don't be distracted with that broad way. Don't be distracted with finding your satisfaction in this world, because your life is like a vapor that will vanish away quickly. Don't try to find profit in the world. And so choose to follow Jesus if you want to keep your most valuable possession, your soul. As we close this morning, I want to ask you that question. Will you follow Jesus? Real simply, would you choose the path of Jesus? Let's bow our heads in prayer.